You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Penny Kelly. Penny is an author, teacher, speaker, publisher, personal spiritual consultant, and naturopathic physician. Since 1987, she has operated Lily Hill Farm and Learning Center. She has been on the forefront of scientific research into consciousness at Pinelandia Laboratory near Ann Arbor, Michigan. She's also written 6 wonderful books: The Evolving Human, A True Story of Awakening Kundalini; The Elves of Lily Hill Farm, A Partnership with Nature; Robes, a book of coming changes; Getting Well Again Naturally, From the Soil to the Stomach; and then Consciousness and Energy, Volumes 1, 2, and 3. You can find out more on her website at www.consciousnessonfire.com. She can also be found on Facebook. So let's welcome her back to the show now. Hi, Penny. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm real good. I'm glad to be here.
Great. Well, I'm glad to hear it. I mean, to barely hear it.
Yeah, I feel bad that you are, you know, that you have static at your end.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes you just, the show must go on.
I know. This is true. Gosh.
So I noticed that you have a new book out.
Yes, that's true.
do we want to talk about that or not?
There's a lot of stuff in there. It's a book for this time in many ways, because if you're talking about volume 3, which is my latest one, you know, it's really about history and consciousness and religion. And, you know, and I started out naming it, you know, Consciousness and Energy Volume 3, History and Consciousness. And then so many people wrote and said, that's the wrong thing. That's the wrong title. You should call it Religion, Sex, Power, and the Fall of Consciousness. And I eventually changed it, but it really is a, you know, a deep look into the way that history has been altered and the way that, you know, that our consciousness has kind of petered out. You know, your consciousness is dependent on energy. Mm-hmm. And that energy has fallen a lot, and we as humans now can only access a very small range of frequencies. So, you know, that limits consciousness quite a bit.
So yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there's probably a lot of places that we could go with volume 3. And I think, you know, as I look at it or as I think about it, you know, there's just this whole range of subjects that it encompasses. So we might range into a few different things, you know, that really come into if religion goes away, what have we got? What are we going to anchor ourselves with? Mm. And that's a big question.
Yes.
And I think some of the answer to that is we're going to anchor it with reality, because religion is a big, it's a fancy story. It's encompassing. Mm-hmm. It's nice. I mean, I was raised, you know, in a religion, and in depth. And now, you know, I'm looking at the way that reality is, and I'm thinking, you know, we just need to know or understand the nature of reality. And that's really, I think, where we have to let go a little bit. And once we do that, once you get away from religion per se, and you begin to understand the nature of reality, then you end up going back around to see that oh, you know, they had some pieces. They were kind of skeletal in their, you know, their presentation. And yet they were relevant in a kind of a backward way. And those have to be brought back into the reality. And, you know, for instance, the whole subject of Jesus, the Christ, you know, that whole thing was really a very distorted story that, you know, and there's more to it than I'm going to say here, but that story was all around the efforts that the ancient cultures made to develop the Christ consciousness in each individual. They had technologies for doing that. They had lifestyles that fostered that. They had their entire civilizational lifestyle set up to bring that consciousness to the foreground. And, you know, that was really lost as the Christians took over. The Christians were really very brutal and very uncompromising in the beginning. And in some ways, they've really softened a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the idea was to make sure that nobody developed the kind of power that Christ consciousness brings. Mm-hmm. And to make sure that everybody was subservient or was following the party line is right. What it comes to. Yeah. So there's a lot of what I'll call having to face truth that I think is coming, you know, over this next 5 years. And you see, and that's not the only truth. There's the whole truth of what's going on in our government, in our civilization. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge, you know, just a huge issue that's going to hit us at every level. Because what I see coming is that there's huge changes, not only in the government, but in the belief systems, which is our religions, and in education and how education is done, and in money, and, you know, medicine, and in relationships between men and women, and, you know, just people in general, in art, and in what I'll call lifestyle design, meaning what kind of house and how that house, what that house is expected to do, and energy, big changes in energy. So we have we're on a toboggan going down the hill, and it's moving faster and faster. And I'm looking at that and thinking, you know, I hope somebody's got a hold of the rope and knows how to lean one way or the other.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It seems like it's like kind of like the ball that rolls downhill, you know, and maybe it's the myth of Sisyphus where he keeps trying to get it up the hill. But yeah. It also seems to me like that with the present systems existing, that you can't build a new system on top of it. It's just rotten and corrupt. And
yeah.
So literally everything on the planet is false or misleading or distorted. And so how can you build anything positive when there are lies and manipulations and deceits and theft and murder and much of it done just for the sake of getting a few extra bucks?
I know. Yeah. I don't think we can build on top of what we had.
Right.
That whole system is in hospice right now.
Yeah.
And there's threads of new systems that are coming up all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, governmental people are talking about new forms of economy, new forms of governance. You know, they're asking the question, how do we organize ourselves if we go beyond the nation state?
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge, huge question, you know?
Yes, it is.
And I was earlier today, I was doing some other work for another project I'm working on, and I happened to be going through Robes, the book Robes. And I came across this little paragraph, and I should have marked it. I could have read it. But the paragraph was something along the lines of, as you move into your future, you're going to move past the nations, and you're going to you're going to organize yourselves using the global network that will encompass the entire Earth. And I was thinking about that and wondering how people would see that kind of organization. Could they even envision it? Or do we have to wait for a whole generation or two generations of people to die out because, you know, they can't get their mind around it? And how do we... You know, how do we start without them? We really can't.
Right.
So there's this whole.
Yes, yeah. And there's so many wonderful ideas which you have done research on. For instance, decoding the crop circles and discovering the energy that creates them and how it can be used to grow crops that are more nutritious and densely packed with nutrients. And, you know, what's happening with that?
Yeah, I think that's moving ahead. Basically, what it comes down to or what we discovered was that the Earth is literally communicating with other planets in the solar system as well as other solar systems and other galaxies as well. Everything is communicating constantly. Mm-hmm. And so there's information coming in and it's going out. It's coming in and going out in the form of frequencies. And frequencies are patterns of information. And that's what gets communicated is a pattern of frequencies. And that pattern of frequencies, if it's visual and it appears on the surface of the earth, and there happens to be a bunch of crops growing there, even among trees, or even in the water, or sand, or in the snow, it doesn't matter, that those frequencies end up creating patterns that have certain basic mathematical facts and factors and designs in them, and they communicate their own message. If the message is coming in and the frequencies are auditory, at the auditory level, then there's literally messages that people pick up. And then, of course, there's the whole feeling thing. And we're pretty, remedial. We're not very bright when it comes to monitoring feelings.
Right.
And so most people, for instance, don't really understand that when the sun gives off a large electromagnetic pulse, everybody's blood pressure goes up.
Yeah, yeah.
So they don't notice the change in the feeling. And that's definitely a change at the feeling state. And so we have lost quite a bit of our capacity to read the incoming energies, which the ancients really had that, they had that down pat. And they began to notice that certain patterns of energy were prominent when certain astrological configurations were operational, when the sun was in certain constellations or the planet was in, you know, certain constellations, etc. So it really... we've lost a lot, and that, I think, is the exciting part of our future. As we become less remedial, is that the best way to say it?
Yeah, that's a nice way.
Yeah, as we begin to pick up some of the lost skills and begin to expand consciousness, there's a lot oh my, there's a lot of information that will, I think, just, you know, have people absolutely amazed, boggled even.
Mm. And, well, that sounds like fun.
Well, yes and no. You know, I think what we need is people that are able to be supportive. I work with a lot of people all around the world, and I've been encouraging anybody who is interested, even a little bit, in doing some sort of coaching or some kind of health consulting or some kind of spiritual direction, to make themselves available to people out there, even if it's just their family. And even if the family is not very receptive in the beginning, just kind of, you know, hold a quiet place and offer a suggestion here and there. Mm-hmm. And let, you know, and let the whole reality of what's needed in each situation begin to expand. And I think, you know, we'll navigate, we'll get through it. So, you know, it's really, really, I think, important to begin to see where the limitations and the biases and the prejudices are. Mm. One of my biggest joys has been, you know, one of the things I've seen in the future is that the whole question of race just goes away. We're not caught up in that. And I love that. I just love it.
So,
so there's a lessening of that whole issue of race and the, what I'm going to call the terrible, terrible arrogance of some races to think that they're better than others.
Or that
you know, other races are dumb, or, you know, whatever the garbage is that gets promoted out there. But that goes away. I think another thing that is really amazing is the equalizing, I guess I would call it equalizing, or naturalizing of the relationships between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
The ancient anger that women have for the way men, you know, when the men had their consciousness awakened back in 1800 BC, they were pretty brutal. And women were in power at that time, and the takedown was awful. And so women have been angrily, you know, and fearfully, and maybe in some cases rightly so, because past lives bleed through.
Right.
Yeah. They've been trying to get back to some place of power. And I think it's really important that we look at the things like the Afghanistan war as only, you know, as it's eventually going to be seen as a really positive thing. And, you know, the difficulties that have happened in Syria, in Qatar, and Yemen, Saudi Arabia, you know, all those places, because there are thousands, millions of women who are really treated kind of like cattle.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, war is probably not the best way to change that situation. But all those people coming in, pouring into Europe, are not, even if they go back home, they're not going to be the same. You
yeah.
know, they're going to try and take their religion with them. And yet the European culture is pretty old and it's pretty strong. And even though European culture is going to lose in the long run, they're not going to lose as much as the invading religious ideas will lose and will moderate in the long term. So, you know, all the stuff that we see happening in the world, some of it looks pretty awful, but in the long run, it has very powerful effects that shake up places that need to be shaken because they haven't gotten out of their box for 3,000 years.
Oh, geez. That's a long time.
Yeah, it is. So, then, you know, and I think as we get healthier, it's going to change our consciousness as well. And people are slowly waking up to the fact that if the equipment isn't very healthy, the consciousness is going to be pretty low. And it's hard to be creative. It's hard to be intuitive. It's hard to be insightful when your energy is in the toilet, so to speak.
Right.
So a lot of change happening there.
Right. And, of course, the 5G network is being rolled out, or they're talking about rolling it out, the Internet of Things. And that is said to be one of the traps or one of the things that will reduce our energy levels and freedom significantly.
Yeah, what is that your, you know, what do you think about that 5G thing? You know, where do you stand with that? Or haven't you looked into it a whole lot?
Well, energetically, it sounds like it's designed to kind of override the human frequencies. And when you have an Internet of Things, that means everything that you have in your house, it has the potential to communicate with, you know, the main processor or with your computer or with a local computer that runs it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't bode well, because it means that everything will be a listening device and a watching device and all under the name of convenience. And, you know, instead of changing the things that are really important, that need to be changed, like allopathic medicine is a good example. Big pharma is a good example. Those are terrible forms of health care, health uncare and unwellness. And, it's a miracle anybody walks out of the hospital alive.
Well, yeah, okay. There can be issues. There can be some serious issues. And so I guess, you know, I've listened to a lot of the 5G stuff, and I'm a little concerned. I'm a lot concerned. And yet I also see some of the benefits down the road. So if you go back to X-rays and Marie Curie and, you know, her scientific research, she really, you know, she came up with this amazing new technology called the X-ray. And it was touted very much like 5G is being touted now.
Huh.
The answer to a lot of issues. It'll make our world an amazing world. It, you know, look what we can do. We can see this and, you know, we can see that, blah, blah, blah. So everybody in Marie Curie's time started playing with X-rays, and a whole generation of scientists died of leukemia before they realized that the X-rays were causing the leukemia. And then they started to be a little more cautious. But before that happened, there was a whole bunch of back and forth and arguing. It's bad for you. No, it's not. It's good. It's, you know, and so we're going to do the same thing with 5G. So the important thing for people to understand is that the human body, physical matter, is secondary to the energetic set of frequencies that holds that matter together. That's really important. We are coming into a time of new technology in lasers, and they're very, very slowly leaking out some of that. And, you know, they're keeping it under the radar as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But we have laser technology, attack technology, that will cause a heart attack, kaboom, that will just, you know, blind you in a hot second. You know, and once you're blind, you become something, you're really, you know, it's hard to be effective. It can destroy any part of the body. It can, if a full laser blast hits you, it can just disintegrate you, and you know, there would be no evidence that you ever even existed. So, you know, that's what we can do with lasers. That's on the challenging side. On the good side, you know, there's people who are using lasers to pinpoint the exact cells in a brain that have a brain tumor and just destroy the brain tumor. There are cells or lasers that can embed certain frequencies in them, which when you, put those frequencies or point those frequencies at the heart, it rebuilds the heart and does so within, I forget, I think it's 3 to 6 months if you have congestive heart failure, and your heart function can go down as low as 25%, and these frequencies will build it back up until it's working perfectly again.
Wow.
There's all kinds of good stuff happening. And one of the things that will have to happen is that the human being will have to evolve to be able to manage the 5G environment. And as it does so, it's going to up the consciousness and the range of consciousness that we have access to. And so in that sense, it's going to be a very good kind of outcome in the long run. But, you know, as humans, we're pretty sloppy with the way that we go about introducing things. And that's something that I think is, it's going to cause some difficulties. And that's just at the physical level. The other difficulties have to do with the evolution of ideology. When you have an ideology that's based on privacy, and that ideology says, how dare you look inside my private communications?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that attitude is based almost 100% on the fear of being judged for what you have said and done in private or in secret. And it's also based on the guilt trip that has been embedded in consciousness via the religions. And mm-hmm. So that whole guilt trip, you know, I need my privacy so nobody knows and can judge what I'm doing in private, that's going to have to go away. Because if you want higher consciousness, you're going to end up having to accept the fact that higher consciousness eventually removes all barriers to knowing. If you enter into an all-knowing state, people can't even get their mind around what an all-knowing state might be like. But there's no barriers to knowing anybody or anything in its entire history of existence. All of its past lives, all of its past experiences, because energy leaves a fingerprint wherever it goes. And so you're an entity and you have you've had a number of experiences, and some of them are just, you know, ordinary little, silly little experiences. Those have left a huge energetic footprint on your energy system. That is trackable when you enter into an all-knowing state. And having been in that state myself several times, all I can say is we have to get past that fear of other people knowing us totally. That's a big issue. And, you know, and one of the things that we have to come to grips with when you enter into all-knowing states, or even if you want to talk about telepathy, you know, how do you have telepathy that is only selective?
Right.
You can't.
Right.
Telepathy means that you know the other person and you can communicate with them completely.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, in order for us to advance, we have to give up some of our ideas. And that is an ideological evolution that right now I see, you know, a lot of people are afraid of. And there's really no reason to be afraid of. And I think, you know, one of the things that I end up saying to people all the time is, look, you know, yes, you did that. Okay, so let me just say this. This is, you know, something to consider. So I do a lot of consulting, and many years ago, like 25 or 30 years ago, a Catholic priest came to me, and he had committed murder, and he got away with it.
Oh.
And he was suffering badly because he was afraid, you know, that A, somebody was going to find out, or B, that nobody was going to find out and he was going to go to hell. So, you know, at some point, you know, and he knew why he'd committed the murder. He knew what drove him. He had figured out all that. He had worked on himself endlessly. There comes a point when you have to forgive yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you have to say, that's where I was at then. It was a terrible mistake. I would never do that again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all have to do that with ourselves. We have to come to this place that says, you know, that's what humans do. And I'm human. So, yeah. Yeah, well, so there's this whole thing that we're, you know, we're up to our eyeballs in right now. And, you know, the only thing that really worries me at this point is that nobody's really seeing beyond the surface stuff in terms of our government and what's going on behind the scenes. And that frightens me a little bit. So, you know, it bothers me enough that I ended up writing a small ebook that I put on my website. Called Trump and the Sting. It was my attempt to wake people up to what they see is not what's going on, and what they hear is not what's going on. You have to go beyond that. You have to look under the surface at what's happening. And that ability, first of all, a willingness to look under the surface is a willingness to drop all of your political ideology, your financial ideology, all your religious ideas, all of your, you know, everything. And to be able to say, okay, what's really going on here? You know, what was going on in over the last 50 years?
Right.
And there's a lot of you know, there's just a lot of stuff that's coming out now, and I think it's going to get a little more intense over the next 2 years. And I've literally seen people having heart attacks and strokes over how upset they are about what's going on. And I'm like, no. You know, so, and then there's other people who are, I mean, there's just, when I look at it, put it this way, I look out there at what's happening and I see all of these groups and they're all struggling with whatever their particular issue or interest is. You know, some of that is, the energy, you know, the problem of the energy. Some of it is with pharmaceuticals, and some people are claiming that demons are attacking us. And, you know, other people say it's the end times, and other people say, oh, we're headed toward, you know, disclosure and the big event. And, you know, and so it's like, okay, where do you focus? You know, what's the truth? Where do you go to get something that makes some sense?
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as we look at it, You know, and as we look at energy, there are, the new energy is already out there. It's plasma energy. And what you can do with plasma energy is astounding. It is so far beyond coal, oil, and gas that I look at the people that are fighting over oil and, you know, coal and gas and, it, you know, all that, and even solar and wind. And I say to them, you know, or at least in my mind, guys, you know, wake up. We're done with that. It's over. You know, we're past that. We're on to plasma. And, you know, it's coming, but it's not, you know, most people don't know what plasma is or how it works. And so, you know, they get caught up in the arguments that are really pointless at this point. Mm-hmm. So, and then there's a whole question of ETs and I have to ask you, what do you see as far as disclosures? You know, do you see anything?
Where in the skies?
Well, disclosure of ETs or beings or, you know, extraterrestrials or, you know, other dimensional beings. What do you see? Anything?
Well, no individual beings or persons, but there are lights that are on the horizon, and they're almost there every night, and they move up and down and left and right and, you know, in any direction, and they're totally silent.
Okay, yeah. Well, there's a lot of technology that the U.S. has developed, and not just the U.S., other countries, that is extraterrestrial-like or extraterrestrial-based, or maybe we could just say, you know, the next system is already fully operational, but the majority of people in this country are still caught up with the idea, you know, that they're waiting for little green men to appear and for the government to announce it, and then they'll believe.
Right. Well, what would be the purpose of these devices that you mentioned?
Well, you know, which devices?
So, for instance, if I'm seeing lights in the sky and they have colors and they, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of red and white and blue.
Yep.
And they are silent and they move up and down and left and they seem to have no particular pattern. What do you think would be the reason for them being out there?
Well, if you're talking about what I'm going to call the hidden technology that's been developed by, what do they call that, the hidden government or the breakaway civilization, etc.
Right.
Then if you're talking about their, you know, their technology, then there's a couple things that I think are going on. Number one, they're continuing to use that technology so they can perfect it. Number two, they're already going to other planets and the moon, etc.
I agree.
And so, number three, they're already interacting with other civilizations. And they don't necessarily say, come on, I'll meet you at the coffee shop down on the corner on Tuesday. You know, they go up into the stars and then they transfer their own selves to other craft and have meetings, et cetera. They don't have those meetings here. And then if you're talking about what I'm going to call, you know, people who are not directly human, they're humanoid, okay? They're true extraterrestrial. So what is the definition of the word extraterrestrial? It means that they have progressed beyond the need for a planet. They don't need a good old, you know, terra firma. They have technologies in which they can expand or contract the area that they want to utilize as what I'm going to call their environment. So that, you know, that's a very, I won't go into that because it gets too complicated. It'll take up too much time. But the there's many things that they're doing. They have their own lifestyle. Mm-hmm. They are part of the earth, some of them. They've been here for hundreds, if not thousands of years. They've just evolved past where we are at, and we're at a pretty low level of development compared to them, if you want to compare and contrast. And they communicate with other stars and planets. They have their own technology. They have to make their own supplies. They synthesize those supplies out of thin air using plasma technologies, which we're starting to learn to do, have done some of that. Mm-hmm. It's out there in the public, but the hidden government, black ops, breakaway civilization, they're doing a lot of that too, but they aren't quite as far along as those who have been doing it for thousands of years.
Right, right.
And so, some of those beings are trying to help educate humans. Some are doing some things that maybe aren't, that we would not look on as very nice. Some are really involved in research programs involving humans and human consciousness. Mm-hmm. And, but most, by and large, are very much interested in seeing us make that next step into a more evolved consciousness. And, and because we've had the shadow government, deep state cabal in control for 50 years, nothing has changed for 50 years. So we have 50 years worth of change that has been backed up behind this massive wall of, yeah, exactly. And anger, here's the thing that worries me. Anger is change energy that hasn't been allowed to go anywhere. When you can't change naturally and continuously, then you'll build up a certain amount of change energy. Mm-hmm. And that begins to take on this, if I could say it like this, this I don't give a damn what happens. I have to make this change. And so it's much better if you just change it as you go along in a natural way and evolve naturally. If there's an obstacle that blocks that evolution, then there's going to be this buildup of tremendous anger behind it. And that's the thing that worries me about, what's happening right now. Right now, there are people under the surface working to remove the obstacles to change and remove the control that we have been under. And so many people don't really know that that's going on, that it's really, it might not do any good in the long run if they are able to remove the cabal, remove the deep state, get the shadow government out of the way. If people are so angry that they go around tearing everything up and, just being critical. So, that's a problem. That's
right,
a big,
right.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people, and Dr. Levengood, the scientist that I worked with for 15 years, it was so maligned, so brilliant in everything he did. He got outside the box and said, hey, I think we should be looking at these crop circles, and I think we should be looking at these, this material that comes from places where ETs have been sighted or landed, and found extraordinary changes in the energy and in the plasma of whatever he was looking at, whether that was plants, people, blood, soil, water, didn't matter. Just extraordinary energetic signature changes in the substances that had been affected by ET craft or ET beings. So, that whole thing you know, he often said, those are people just like us. And I was like, what are you talking about? What people? Mm-hmm. And he was talking about ETs.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, I had a hard time with that at first. But his appreciation for their ability to manipulate energy was absolutely, you know, it was astounding. And he learned a lot. I learned a lot. Working with him about those energies and how they, you know, some of the possibilities and some of the amazing, amazing potentials that we have, you know, just to increase our own energy system. So, you know, things that we did in the lab were just astounding. So,
well, of course, the breatharians would say you can gather chi or life force from the air itself.
Yeah, you can. Yeah,
and,
you can also do it. Just your skin is designed to pick up energy and read light energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that it, I've got a friend. He's a breatharian. He hasn't eaten for 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, lives right here in the Kalamazoo area. And, you know, I am just amazed at the things that we are headed toward. You know, the potentials that we have. Mm. Let's say that climate change becomes totally out of control, or Yellowstone blows up, for instance, and now we have, you know, a winter, a long, you know, we don't have much sun, et cetera. We have to learn how to take in energy from other sources than just food.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's something that, you know, people are probably going to see it as a disaster instead of an opportunity. So, you know, lots and lots of so even just the grand solar minimum, you know, we're headed into the grand solar minimum. I think we're in it already. And the grand solar minimum is a period of time typically going to last anywhere from 30 years to 300 or 400 years, and in which there's no sunspots. And there's no, you know, there's not very much activity coming off the sun. Well, that activity coming off the sun, those waves of energy coming at us through the solar sea, are what bring us or make us warm and bring us heat. And, you know, they stir up the molecules in the environment close to the surface of the earth. And that's what creates heat, and that's what creates our weather. And when you get no stirring of the molecules, it gets really cold. And so grand solar minimum is typically called a little ice age. And we're on the internet, we're headed into it. We may not pull out of it. We may enter into a grand ice age. Certain things have to happen that, you know, will pull us out of that ice age. But if those certain things don't happen, and they're, you know, they're not things that I don't think we can easily manage them or make them happen, you know, maybe not. But if we don't pull out by 2050, then we're going to enter into a grand ice age in the entire northern hemisphere, half of the northern hemisphere, down as far as mid-Ohio, and, you know, it is ice. It just turns into ice. It gets big snowfall and never warms up enough to melt all the snow. And, you know, there goes the cornfields of Iowa. There go the, you know, a lot of the fields that produce vegetables and grains and things that feed the population.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, what do we do then? You know, do we turn to our oceans and our Gulf of Mexico and all the other places that we've polluted the crap out of and try to, you know, get fish? Or what do? You know, or do we learn to synthesize the frequencies we need to restore the body and take those in and, you know, move past the need for food altogether. So lots, like I said, lots of opportunity coming and lots of change on our doorstep. If we can just get past, you know, some of the belief systems and, you know, the really primitive ideas that flow out of the religions, and without, you know, one of the things I love about the religions is the ritual, you know, the music, the pomp and the pomp and circumstance kind of thing. And that's something that, you know, we don't have to give that up, but we absolutely have to move past the gender wars, you know, the idea that our life is controlled by, you know, books that were written 2,000 years ago or 800 years ago, and, you know, lots of really erroneous ideas of food and water and the environment, etc. So.
Right, right. Well, we've got a lot of challenges coming up, and I have a good friend in Hawaii who said a lot of difference a day can make, because she was right at ground zero where the lava was flowing and had to evacuate her home, and she'll never be able to go back there.
So the
earth changes seem to be piling up a little bit, because there are also reports of sinkholes all around the world. And, you know, there are other things that are anomalies continuing to accelerate. I think Yellowstone is, some of the geysers are going off. And, you know, anything could happen at any moment. And I think we get lulled into a false sense of security that everything's going to be this way forever and ever. But, you know, I don't think that's... everything changes in each moment, because no two moments are alike. Every now is a different now.
That's so true. Oh, my gosh. And you know what? We have become so rigid in the way that we live that a lot of people really run the risk of being, you know, unable to survive because they're too inflexible.
Mm-hmm.
The dynamic quality of our of the energetic soup that we live in, and the way that consciousness actually works. Once you get past all the prejudice and the biases and the early training stuff that, you know, this is not helpful, then you come to this place where you have to be much more flexible and much more dynamic. And that really is one of the ways that other beings operate. Mm-hmm. They don't have the religious bias. They don't have the governmental rules. They don't have the, you know, the educational scarring that happens when intelligence gets stunted as we move through the educational system. For so many people, a few people excel, but a huge number of people come out of schools and they are scarred for life. And that dynamic ability to be flexible. Look at the American Indians before, you know, Columbus arrived. Mm-hmm. Very, very flexible lives. You know, very simple, didn't eat a lot. I think we're going to end up having to become much more flexible, much more dynamic with our consciousness, and, you know, be able to respond in a sensible way to the changes that are happening. And I don't see Hawaii, or at least the main island, you know, that's a dangerous place to be right now.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And of course, I live on the San Andreas Fault, and I was born on San Andreas Street, so which was also on the fault. So I have always wondered if that's a hint of things to come, but I'm at the age now where it probably wouldn't matter as much to me now as it would have when I was a kid.
Yeah, you know, I think that kind of symbolism in your life is indicative of there's a message here, there's a message here.
Yeah,
that's really true. And I think, you know, there's there have been, I watch some of the science channels that talk about what's happening with the electromagnetic fields around the planet. Oh, my. You know, they are so screwed up right now.
Huh.
And, you know, and the North Pole is moving, has moved, I think they said 600 miles.
Wow.
Now.
So is it getting ready to reverse?
You know, it could all go back to normal at any point in time, but boy, it sure doesn't look very good right now.
No,
the fields all over the place. We have multiple North Poles and multiple South Poles, and now we have some East Poles and some West Poles, and they're all, you know, just they're vortices that if we get caught in some unusual vortex and end up, you know, hitting the wall, so to speak, and, you know, some other direction, we start rolling in some other direction.
Right. Well, we have run out of time, and with all this talk about the North Pole, I'm wondering if we'll all get more presents at Christmas time. But in any case, I just want to thank you for coming back again, and we never seem to have a normal show. You know, one of us or the other has something going on. Today I have static on my line. And one day something, you know, but it makes life interesting, doesn't it?
It sure does. Gosh, I hope it gets better at your end.
Well, thanks again, Penny. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And we'll have you back again soon, and we'll have another fireside chat.
All right. Thank you. Have a good evening, Lance.
You too, Penny. Good night.